First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
You're listening to Karen Cataline as a regular guest host of the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, and it never ceases to amaze me how wonderful it is to have with us, if I can find my notes, which I'm working on, our very next guest. He's been on many, many times, but he never minces words and is a prolific writer at The Stream, senior editor, as a matter of fact. He was press secretary for Louisiana Governor Mike Foster, as well as reporter and editor at the Success Magazine, at Success Magazine, and Investor's Business Daily. He's also co-author of 14 books, including No Second Amendment, No First, his recent, unless he's written another one in 2 weeks that I don't know about. John Zamirak, always a pleasure to have you on. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Karen. It's always fun to talk to you.
So, yes, it is. What?
I'm doing this big series at stream.org, sort of analyzing the central madness of our political system. And I'll just sum it up for you. You remember in the Soviet Union when they had the Chernobyl meltdown and it poisoned thousands of miles and killed thousands of people. That helped discredit the regime, helped bring it down. The way things are set up now in America and in Western Europe, when institutions fail, they're not discredited. They actually have found ways to benefit from it. They see every Chernobyl-style failure, it becomes an opportunity to grab more power, to be rewarded for their failure, just as Kamala Harris is trying to be rewarded for letting 10 million illegal immigrants into the country.
Uh-huh.
We're supposed to then give these people citizenship to reward the party, the Democrats, who failed to keep them out. So I analyze how this works, why it works, and what we can do about it. Let me first give the most obvious examples of this. I call it anti-fragility, where failure doesn't just fail to hurt you, it actually benefits you, okay? The first example was our deep state, when it failed to prevent 9/11. There were ample warnings, there was lots of intel. Our FBI, our CIA failed to prevent the September 11th attack. Did they get investigated? Were there hearings? Did people lose their jobs? People go to jail? None of that. None of that. Instead, they gave them the Patriot Act, giving the same agencies that had failed to protect us more money, more power, and more ability to override our individual rights. And the Bush administration used the Patriot Act to try to recruit innocent apolitical Muslims and bribe them into committing terror attacks so they could arrest them. The Obama administration then turned that on conservative Christians, making the FBI and the CIA and the NSA, all those three-letter agencies, turning them into a political secret police like the Russian KGB. And now they're infiltrating PTA meetings and Latin masses, and they're persecuting pro-lifers, and January 6th defendants are going to prison for years for nonviolent protests. We now have a KGB in America, and it's called the FBI. That's the first systemic failure that was rewarded.
Heartbreaking.
You want to know the second one?
We do.
Garbage government schools. Government schools were supposed to help create a healthier, better educated, more civic-minded, patriotic populace. In fact, Government schools have failed to do all those things. So what do we get? A Department of Education that lavishes billions and billions on it, and the government asking for ever more power over how parents raise their kids. In California and in Indiana, the government will strip parents of their parental rights if they won't affirm that the kid is transgender, if the school psychologist convinces them that he is. And they want government daycare. They want to get all kids into pre-K. The government, in its custody over children, has failed miserably. And what do they want? More power and more power and more power. You keep trying the same thing and expect different results. And, of course, mass immigration. The problem, you bring in millions of Haitians and dump them in a depressed Ohio town. When they start doing voodoo rituals and eating people's cats, it's just proof that there's too much white racism. There's not enough diversity. Diversity is not the problem. Diversity is the cure. The problem is the population, the American people, who they want to destroy and replace with obedient, docile peasants imported from the third world.
We know this. We're watching it. We're living it. We're seeing it. Some people don't see it, but a lot of people do. And I think probably the greatest refrain, the greatest lament that I hear is, why is there no accountability? Sounds like this three-part series that you wrote for The Stream answers that question. But help us out here. How do they get away with it? How are they allowed to be rewarded for so familiar and misery and heartache?
Excuse me, I have the flu. Because in order to get to the root of why these failures happen, you have to question assumptions. You have to question the false premises these policies are based on. You have to go back and say, well, was it ever a good idea for the U.S. to have troops in Saudi Arabia, for the U.S. to be trying to run the Middle East? But if you ask questions like that, you're a radical. You're a crank. Oh, come on, you're an extremist. You can't ask those kinds of questions. You're upsetting the whole consensus. You're a nutcase. Like,
right.
Is the whole idea of this vaccine, is mandating an untested vaccine and giving it to the whole population and forcing it on them, is that such a good idea? Really, should we have been developing Chinese government bioweapons using labs in China? Oh, come on. You see, if you ask, if you get to the root of the question, that's radical. That's etymology, radical. You're getting to the root of the question, and then you're a crank. Remember, Ron Paul was asking all these difficult questions in the 2008 election. And you had the commentators from National Review running the Republican debate just mocking him, talking through his answers, scorning him as a crank. So the people who want to ask the really difficult questions, are secular government schools a good idea in the first place? They get isolated as cranks, and people don't want to stand out. They don't want to be cranks. They don't want to be outcasts. They want to fit in. So the price of fitting in, of feeling like a normal person, the mainstream commentator, the kind who will even get invited on Fox News, is not to ask such questions. And if you ask them, people like Emeril Robinson asked those questions about the vaccine. She got fired from Newsmax. Tucker Carlson got fired from Fox News.
Right.
People who ask the really relevant questions are immediately isolated by the regime, by the system.
And made an example of for others.
Exactly. So then other people look and say, I don't want to end up like Ron Paul. I don't want to end up like Alex Jones. I don't want to end up on a no-fly list like Tulsi Gabbard. I don't want to be ostracized by all my friends like Naomi Wolf or put in prison like Steve Bannon. So what my answer is, the only people I trust are the people who are being canceled and persecuted. That to me, that's how you win my trust. If the FBI and the CIA are not after you, you're probably not worth all that much. That's my thing.
Talk about reverse logic, which makes total sense. I've got a kind of an outlier question. You started with Bush and 9/11. I was never one of those so-called 9/11 conspiracy theorists. Now we've seen how crises just like Rahm Emanuel used to say, it's not just never let a crisis go away, go to waste, but create crises, create them so that you can get to the place you wanted to go anyway. That being said, I have no knowledge of, you know, I'm not going to go to the conspiracy theory, but I do wonder how it is that George W. Bush, a supposed Republican who now we know Dick Cheney is going to vote for this current administration and all of that. They've been exposed as not conservative at all. Would you say, I hate to say, don't forget what you were going to say, and we'll come back and get your answer.
Right.
I'll finish my question and you can wax philosophic about that, because that's something. We're talking to John Zemarek, one of my favorite guests. I always tell him that. He is great. You're on the Alan Nathan Show, and this is the Main Street Radio Network, and you want to hear more from John Zemarek right after this.
Well, I'm so excited to be here today to kick off our Sisterhood of Strength campaign in support of BCRF, Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So Knitwell Group houses 8 iconic brands, and we've got 45,000 associates. Most of them are women, and we reach 20 million customers, women customers. So Sisterhood of Strength campaign is really an important initiative for us in support of BCRF. By bringing together our amazing brands, Ann Taylor, Loft, White House Black Market, Chico, Soma, Talbots, Lane Bryant, we believe that we can reach the goal of $10 million. There are several ways that you can get involved, but most importantly, head to one of our stores. We've got 3,000 stores across the country, and all of our associates are ready to welcome you and talk about how you can support the cause. Go online to bcrf.org or knitwellgroup.com and inform yourself on how you can support the Sisterhood of Strength campaign.
September is National Recovery Month, and the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs is raising awareness of substance use resources for veterans.
I'm Dr. Joseph Liberto, National Mental Health Director, Substance Use Disorders at VA. We want veterans to know that any time is the right time to start recovery. VA has resources to help veterans find hope and healing from unhealthy substance use, no matter where they are in their journey.
VA offers many different treatments tailored to each veteran's unique path to recovery.
From outpatient care and residential rehabilitation to evidence-based treatments and harm reduction services, there are more options than ever for veterans to receive world-class support for substance use at VA. If you're concerned about your alcohol or drug use, reach out for support. We can help you find a path to recovery and a healthier life.
Find support for you or your loved one at www.va.gov/recovery.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. We're talking to John Zemarek, senior editor at thestream.org. You can find his stuff at stream.org. And he has a three-part series, Why the Left Has Teflon, Part 1, 2, and 3. Thanks for staying with us, John Zemarek.
Thank you, Karen. And actually, Part 4 appears in a couple days with the answers on how we can fight back. But you asked You asked me about the 9/11 thing. I think the incompetence and dilettante laziness of George W. Bush is more than sufficient to account for 9/11 happening. But really, so you don't have to do a government conspiracy that they knew it was coming. On a more general level, the neoconservatives and the liberal internationalists, in other words, the Bushes and Hillary Clintons of this world, they know that if we keep meddling in every part of the world constantly, overturning people's governments, trying to change their religion, trying to make them have abortion clinics and transgender clinics in Muslim countries, they know there's going to be blowback. They know there's going to be revenge strikes against the U.S. in one form or another, and they're prepared for that, because then when those revenge strikes happen, that justifies more intervention, more military spending, more meddling in other people's countries. So in a general sense, they know there's going to be blowback, and they know how to profit from the blowback. But you mentioned Dick Cheney. Your listeners need to know this. Dick Cheney created Anthony Fauci. He after the anthrax attacks in like 2002, Dick Cheney panicked and said, why isn't the U.S. developing bioweapons that we can use in revenge against any terrorists? Oh, because it was illegal. So he got Anthony Fauci to do it in China because then it was overseas. And that is how we got the COVID virus. Dick Cheney created the COVID virus as a bioweapon to use against Muslims or someone.
You know,
that's all verifiable.
It is hard not to show motive for doing that, because have we heard Dick Cheney or anybody else, any of the Bushies, say that it was a problem that these bioweapons were turned on American citizens? They are aligned with a communist administration. They would rather vote for communists. I think it's more sinister than that. Really?
Well, I mean, it's pretty sinister. It's pretty sinister.
It's pretty sinister.
These people want power, and they will do anything to keep it. The fact that Dick Cheney has endorsed Kamala Harris, all the evil people are lined up on the same side now.
They're all Cheney, on the same side, and they're
Dick
out of the
Cheney,
closet.
Kamala Harris, David French, Pope Francis, Anthony Fauci, all the worst human beings on the face of the earth are lined up together saying, you have to obey this system. So you have to vote. And if you don't, and if you question our voter fraud, we're going to accuse you of voter suppression. In any case, in part four of the series, which will appear tomorrow, I believe, I offer a few things people can do in the build up to this election, which might be our last real free election in the history of this great country.
If it's
what
free.
Can you do?
Go ahead.
What can you do? Well, first of all, I would say for Election Day, vote in person. Do not early vote. Early voting just tells Dominion and other corrupt companies how many fake Democratic ballots they have to create in advance. We need to overwhelm the fraudulent algorithms on Election Day. Vote in person. Stand in line however long it takes. Bring your own blue ballpoint pen. Believe it or not, this is important, because when they give out those little black felt pens at some places where you vote, which you vote with, that is easy for computer printers to replicate. They can't do the blue ballpoint pen. So the way to protect your vote is to vote in person and on Election Day. If you want to know more about this, watch the movie Let My People Go by David Clements, who's a great hero. You ought to have him on. He has a show on Frank TV. Let My People Go. Yeah, a couple other things. We should be fasting and praying for our country. It was good enough for George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and the Hebrew prophets and Jesus. It's good enough for us. I think it's also a prudent thing, and I'm going to do this. Who knows what kind of chaos our masters are going to unleash in order to hijack this election and maybe even prevent it from happening. Who knows? Will it do George Floyd riots again? Who knows? Will it be a fake bioweapon attack? Mm-hmm. I think people should stockpile food, like meals ready to eat, water, and ammunition, because I think AR-15 rounds are the currency of the future.
That's dark stuff, but you never mince words. And so this segment, part four, will lay that out, what you just said to us.
Preparing materially, practically, and spiritually. In terms of intellectual preparation for these times, stop watching Fox News. If there's one thing I could tell people, turn off Fox News. It is worse than MSNBC, worse than CNN. It is the place. It is the place that when the FBI wants to get a message out to intimidate conservatives, to shut Christians up, they send it to Fox. It was Fox who called Arizona for Joe Biden before anyone else in 2020.
Yes, it was.
Fox is the thin end of the wedge. It is the propaganda outlet that the neocons, the Dick Cheneys, it is where they send out their messaging to try to control the deplorables whom they despise. So turn off Fox News. Watch Real America's Voice, Steve Bannon's War Room. Watch Frank TV. Look at websites like Citizen Free Press is a wonderful link farm. It's what it's what Drudge Report used to be. Read Revolver News, watch Tucker Carlson. Basically, if they allow it on your cable system, it's probably not worth watching.
Well, they never have gotten rid of that supposed strategist Bushy guy. Just the worst. I've blocked out his name.
Karl Rove.
Just the most.
Oh my God.
Horrible joke of a human being. And you know, this is another thing. Educated people feel guilty for not watching, for example, the Republican primary debate, which was a pretend joke. I pride myself on not watching these things because I don't want to put poison in my head. And I think we have to change our values consistent with the reality that we're living. That's my thought.
Yeah, take that time to do something more useful like praying or play with your dog or go read Revolver News. Revolver News, one of the best media sites out there. Thank God for Elon Musk. Twitter has become usable again. It has got a lot of great stuff on it.
Yes, it has. That's right. How can people find your book, John Zemirak?
No Second Amendment, No First is at bookstores. It's at the publisher's website, and it's on Amazon, and it's getting more and more attention. And I hope people read it. I spent 3 years researching and writing it, and it's a very serious intellectual book.
Very important. And you're a serious intellectual, but you're fun, too. John Zemirak. That's Z-M-I-R-A-K, Zemirak, a treasure if ever there was one. Thanks for joining us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to move right along with another guest. We're going to talk some illegal immigration. That's not relevant these days, is it? We'll be back on the Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network after this.
As of August 2024, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration confirmed 19 weather-related disasters in the U.S., each causing over $1 billion in losses. Verizon Frontline just released its annual public safety communication survey, collecting data from first responders who aid in rescue and recovery efforts, and found that reliable communication is mission critical during these events. Maggie Halbach, president of Verizon Frontline.
This year's survey revealed that 65% of respondents identified a reliable and resilient communications network as the most important feature for effective day-to-day or emergency response communications. That's up 14% from last year. Verizon Frontline is proud to say that we deliver reliable, resilient, and secure communications capabilities to more than 40,000 public safety agencies nationwide, making us the number one network choice in public safety.
For more on the survey results or to learn more about Verizon Frontline, go to verizon.com/frontline.
New York Times bestselling author J.C. Cervantes, author of the hit Storm Runner series, introduces The Daggers of Ire, a new middle-grade fantasy novel about sisterhood, magic, and the power of kids to face what grown-ups refuse to see. The book's heroine is a young witch named Esme Santos. Since the death of her mother, Esme is determined to heal her father's grief. She comes across a magic spell that might make her dad whole again, but before she can try, she and her best friend, Tiago, discover that their families and all the town's witches have vanished along with their magic. Now, Esme and Tiago must rescue the town's witches or risk losing their families and their magic forever. Author J.C. Cervantes.
Esme and Tiago embark on an exciting magical adventure throughout the pages of The Daggers of Ire. It's got captivating thrills and action, not to mention big laughs and plenty of heart. My hope is that readers will get lost in the pages and enjoy the magic of this story.
The Daggers of Ire is now available wherever books are sold.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
You know that feeling? Like every door is closing and you just can't see a way out? Being unemployed, underemployed, or just out of school feels a lot like that. But when you find the right tools, suddenly, everything just clicks. Getting on that path may be easier than you think. A good place to start? Go to findsomethingnew.org. At findsomethingnew.org, you have access to resources that help develop new skills. Skills that will position you for careers in today's growing industries. From healthcare and manufacturing to cybersecurity and alternative energy. Plus, you can take advantage of online courses, certification programs, apprenticeships, and more. So you can take yourself from unemployed and uncertain to empowered and prepared for what's next. Find your path to a new career today. Visit findsomethingnew.org. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And looks like the Democrat presidential nominee visited the border to find out what's going on. Well, the ICE just submitted some unbelievable numbers of who and what kind of people have been unleashed into this country unvetted. Here to talk about it is Robert Romano, Vice President of Public Policy at Americans for Limited Government. Robert Romano, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Thank you, Karen. It's great to be on with you.
Yes. So at the Daily Torch, you have an article with the headline, Donald Trump was right, says I told you so, as 151,000 violent convicted criminals released into the U.S. as Kamala Harris visits the southern border to find out what's going on. Talk to us about this.
Well, last week to U.S. Representative Tony Gonzalez, ICE released data on just who has been coming over the border, 8.3 million that we know about, encounters coming across the border since 2021. And of those, 13,300 are convicted murderers, 16,100 sexual assault convicts, 65,000 convicted of assault, 4,000 burglary, larceny, robbery, 14,000 weapons offenses, 2,600 kidnapping, and 2,200 commercialized sex offenses. And I paired this against that's about 1.8% of the people who came across the border when you add them all up for just the convicted ones. And that's 151,000, 1.87% kind of violent crime rate. Well, the national violent crime rate is 0.36%. So it's about six times the normal, you know, rate of violence per person. So I think that this is clearly Donald Trump was right. He warned us about this in 2015 as soon as he started running for president. That's why he was in part elected the first go around. And I expect, people who are paying attention to this issue are probably going to be voting for Donald Trump.
Yes, and he also said something else that I keep hearing again and again. I wonder if anybody's done investigative reporting on this. This is the problem. You know that old phrase, lies can travel six times around the world before the truth puts its shoes on. And way back when in 2015 and after, Donald Trump said, not only is it wrong to be opening up our borders and we need a wall, but he said, and these countries are not sending us our best. Just like in the Mariel boat lift, we suspect and believe that these countries are opening up their prisons and their mental hospitals and sending these people to us to prey on innocent citizens. Has there been some evidence of this that we can point to, or is it just something that we have hunches about?
I think you just look at this data. If these were convicted murderers from murders in the United States, they'd be behind bars.
Right.
A great number of these crimes are being committed.
They were already convicted before they got here.
Exactly.
Right.
And these are recently logged into the database. And according to the House Homeland Security release, based on what they're seeing, quote, they had previously been encountered by Border Patrol, turned over to ICE, had their criminal history documented, and then were released into the United States. That's the Department of Homeland Security under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. And if she doesn't need to travel to the southern border to figure out what's going on, she could go talk to Joe Biden. She could talk to Alberto.
Well, she probably couldn't talk to Joe Biden, but she knows exactly what's going on. She was there for the whole thing. She knows what's going on.
She could just look in the mirror. That might be helpful, too, to figure out what's going on here. Or she could just go to a Trump rally, and Trump's been talking about this for years and years now. And the American people, I've been paying close attention to national surveys throughout this election cycle. They're siding with Donald Trump on immigration and the border by 15, 20 points in some cases. And I think that, if this is your issue, I think you know who you're voting for.
Well, you have to ask, the obvious question, when actions show motive, when actions show what people really want, if you are unleashing criminals to prey on innocent citizens that you supposedly represent and are constantly claiming that you protect them, you know what's best for them, just listen to me, I'll take care of you. But your actions show that you're bringing criminals, gang members, on and on, which is the opposite of your job, then doesn't that pretty much tell you how much they care about the citizenry? They have hatred for them. Is there any other conclusion a person can come to than that?
Well, 98% of the people coming across wouldn't have this violent criminal history that ICE has documented. But that 2%, well above the national average, is considered an acceptable risk. I think in lieu of a wider goal, which is frankly to, put more people into this country, get them into the citizenship roles, and then have them become registered voters eventually, and to overwhelm our system that way. So they're willing to have higher violent crime, that even if that's not the primary goal, it's certainly a side effect of what is probably the primary goal, which is
What if it were the primary goal?
With new Democrats.
You're talking about people who emptied the prisons and imprisoned citizens during COVID. During COVID, they actually locked people in their homes, but emptied out the prisons all in the name of COVID. I don't think that, we can split hairs here, but that looks like maliciousness to me.
If you look at the defund the police stuff and this kind of soft on crime policies, it's hard to conclude any. I'd come up to it any other conclusion.
Any other conclusion? put all the stuff together, disarm the victim, make them scared and afraid, which is what communist regimes always do, and you pretty much get the picture of who these people really are. So what's happening during this election and all the smoke and mirrors, some people are buying it, but I guess a lot of people aren't. What else does the Americans for Limited Government do? It's clear you did a deep dive on immigration.
Oh, yeah. Well, we're looking at another big predictor in presidential cycles will be economic issues. And probably what percent of people are citing the economy as their primary concern when they, once again, Donald Trump's leading by about 15, 20 points there. And there is certainly cause for concern, even after the sky-high inflation, 9.1% by June 2022. The prices are still much higher now than they obviously were back in 2021, and incomes have not yet caught up. So if that's your primary issue, I think that people, once again, know who they're voting for in 2024. I think that if the election comes down to immigration and the economy, it's probably not going to be close.
Notice they're not talking about either one. The ads, you know, maybe there are some ads, but they don't talk about it. They talk about personalities. They talk about what Kamala Harris is wearing, you know. Anything to distract from the real issues that affect people's lives. Go ahead.
In a re-election cycle, first-term incumbent party, they're usually going to get re-elected about 69% of the time. So Kamala Harris, she does well in the polls on abortion or protecting democracy, whatever that means. So that's what she's going to talk about. Trump does well on immigration and economy, and of course that's naturally what he talks about. And he's educating his supporters about what the problems are surrounding those issues. And so I think that the candidates are going to try to stay in their lanes, but a lot's going to depend on which electorate shows up. Is it going to be one primarily concerned about abortion? Could be a good day for Harris. Are they concerned about the economy? Could be a bad day for Harris.
Yeah. Well, and none of those issues really get to, and it's hard to talk really, really big picture in elections, but it's important. The tyrannical regime that has forced itself on American citizens, the Marxist and communist bent that nobody's talking about, of all the same people on the left, it's always the same people on the left that are working to control and shut down opposition and all and the like. I mean, how do you talk about that in an election? We got to go, but just your final thought there.
Yeah, no, there is one party that's for censorship right now, and Congress has not been too helpful in kind of pushing it back. So we got to do a really good job next year if the Republicans do get elected, they have to do a much better job on this.
Thank you so much. Robert Romano, find his article at the Daily Torch. Thank you again for joining us. We appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to wrap up the show with one more guest. Don't go away. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network.
Well, I'm so excited to be here today to kick off our Sisterhood of Strength campaign in support of BCRF, Breast Cancer Research Foundation. So Knitwell Group houses 8 iconic brands, and we've got 45,000 associates. Most of them are women, and we reach 20 million customers, women customers. So Sisterhood of Strength campaign is really an important initiative for us in support of BCRF. By bringing together our amazing brands, Ann Taylor, Loft, White House Black Market, Chico, Soma, Talbots, Lane Bryant, we believe that we can reach the goal of $10 million. There are several ways that you can get involved, but most importantly, head to one of our stores. We've got 3,000 stores across the country, and all of our associates are ready to welcome you and talk about how you can support the cause. Go online to bcrf.org or knitwellgroup.com and inform yourself on how you can support the Sisterhood of Strength campaign.
The U.S. is seeing one of the most significant COVID-19 surges in the last 2 years. It is a reminder that the virus is still a threat for severe infections. Updated vaccines are now available nationwide. Dr. Jerome Adams, former U.S. Surgeon General, explains why staying up to date on your COVID-19 vaccine is essential.
The uptake of the 2023-2024 flu vaccine was more than double that of the updated COVID-19 vaccine. And yet, COVID-19 hospitalization rates are higher than the flu, regardless of age or health conditions. Staying up to date with your COVID-19 vaccine remains one of the best ways to help protect yourself and your loved ones from severe illness. Even if you've had COVID-19 this summer, you should still get vaccinated, as data shows that it can give you protection that lasts twice as long as immunity from the infection itself.
To find an updated COVID-19 vaccine near you, please visit vaccines.gov, or for more information, speak to your healthcare provider.
The back to school season is a busy time of year, and I've partnered with a few brands to help make it a little bit easier and healthier. First, for lunch, turn to Lunchables. They are a convenient, affordable, stress-free option that can help make mealtime easy and fun while also fueling kids through the day. They're available nationwide in these conveniently packaged single-serve kits, which are perfect for lunchboxes. Now, back to school season is also a great time for the whole family to hone in on their health and wellness. And Solgar's new age-defying nutrition line of supplements is powered by clinically studied ingredients to help support joints, muscles, memory, hair, skin, and eyes. You can find them at the Vitamin Shoppe stores and vitaminshoppe.com. And for a wholesome after-school snack that kids will love, turn to Farm Rich, which is one of America's favorite frozen snack brands. Everyone loves their mozzarella sticks, which are made with real mozzarella cheese, so they contain protein and calcium. For more, you can head to my website, nutritionbymia.com.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone. For Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And we are pleased to have, as our final guest this show, Executive Director at Gun Owners of California, Sam Paredes. He is also a member of the Board of Directors of Gun Owners of America and Treasurer of Gun Owners Foundation. We got a really interesting subject to talk about. Sam Paredes, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Karen, it's a pleasure to be with you. Let's get to the getting.
Well, it looks like Wyoming is arming their teachers. And it's amazing, as an aside, how terrified the left is of this. They don't want people, you know, children protected, but they'll protect gold in a bank, but they won't with a gun, but they won't protect their children in a school. And of course, the school shootings are getting more commonplace than ever before. What do you make of that? And give us the getting here.
Well, Karen, this is part and parcel of the mentality of the anti-gun left. They believe that not the guns, but we, the gun owners, are the problems in this world, and that the way they're going to solve the problems of this world is by taking our guns away from us. You are absolutely correct. They take no stock in the fact that bad situations have been stopped or prevented by good guys with guns. Most recently, a armed teacher and a armed person on a campus stopped a mass shooting from being any worse than it was. So it just doesn't make sense. I mean, these people even want to ban the use of body armor that kids can put in their backpacks. They want to ban the ownership of that. It doesn't.
And what's the reasoning behind that? It sounds insane to the logical mind, but what's the reason for that?
Well, if law-abiding citizens can use them, then criminals can. And since we're not willing to arrest criminals and put them in prison for a long period of time, we want to prevent them from having the tools they need to apply their trade. Again, the anti-gun left are pro-criminal and anti-law-abiding citizen with a gun.
There's no doubt of that because, as I just mentioned with our last guest, during COVID, they imprisoned law-abiding citizens in their homes. They locked them in their homes and emptied out the prisons all under the guise of COVID. They have been pro-criminal for as long as we can remember, and somehow, just like criminals, they get away with that. I'm not sure why.
Well, they get away with it because in the cases where they're passing this kind of gobbledygook garbage, they are in charge. The voters have opted to vote for people that will give them pay increases, raise the minimum wage, make sure that all of the social programs are ongoing and funded. And it is getting to the point to where the pendulum is switching, that even those people are saying, hey, crime is rampant in our streets. We see it right outside our doors, and we've got to do something about it. So I think that the mood of Americans is changing against those that would, deny us the ability to protect ourselves. Because when you need a police officer right now, they are 15 minutes away. So, those sound like cliches, but it's a matter of fact. So that's what we're fighting for.
Yes, there's just no doubt that this mentality is attempting to govern at the opposition of the people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what tyranny is, isn't it? You know, I'm going to force this on you because it's for your own good. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I don't care if you disagree. You have no rights to disagree because I'm going to force it on you. It's kind of the thing that our grandparents and great-grandparents fought to protect liberty in mm-hmm. this country, and yet we have people actively working against it. Talk about your organization and this let's zero in on Wyoming, because mm-hmm. Wyoming is arming teachers. I'm sure it's voluntary. The left goes crazy saying, oh, you know what? What if they don't want to? Well, they always project their tyrannical view on others. They don't think in terms of volunteerism, people who are already well-trained, people who are already kind of have a sheepdog mentality. And so how's that working? Is it in operation yet, the Wyoming school district's arming staff?
Mm-hmm. It's going to work very well. And we all know through history that these violent criminals, these deranged minds, want to go to a place where they know they're not going to face any opposition so they can commit their act of evil. Even though they might have a suicide mentality, they know they're going to get shot and killed. They're still wanting to go in a place to where they are going to be able to exact the greatest amount of pain possible. So Wyoming, hats off to Wyoming. You know, those cowboys and cowgirls up there, they're doing the what they need to do to protect the children. Karen, I have spoken and testified in hundreds, if not thousands, of committees before the legislature here in California, and it would blow the mind of the average citizens of the United States and California when they realize that these people do not believe it is the criminal's fault that they committed the crime. They believe somehow it is our fault.
Really? So is that the Stockholm syndrome or is that leftist propaganda? I'm not sure which.
I think it's right out of Lenin's book. Is that confuse people with the facts, and if you utter it often enough, that they will accept it as the truth sooner or later. We've been fighting for a long time. Gun Owners of California is the oldest pro-gun political action committee in America. As far as the political action committee is concerned, they weren't invented until 1975. And when they were invented in Washington and Sacramento, Senator H.R. Richardson, our founder and chairman, who was a board member of the NRA at the time, went to the folks there and said, hey, do you guys care if I tell one of these political action committees they're trying to ban handguns in California? They said, go right ahead.
Sam, you hear that music. That means we got to wrap it up. Sam Paredes, how do people find you at the Gun Owners of California?
www.gunownersca.com or just Google Gun Owners of California will come right to the top.
Great. And maybe they can learn more about arming teachers in their state. Thank you very much, Sam. We appreciate your time. Well, that does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan Show here on the Main Street Radio Network. I know how to say that. Network. Stay tuned again and tune in tomorrow.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.